Why didn't Lutherans abandon many of the worship practices of the medieval Roman Catholic Church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more about Faith and Act at issuesetc.org. Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation.
I'm a Christian, and I pray to Jesus Christ, our Savior, and I've been doing it for many, many years.
Well, not everyone believes that, and it's kind of strange. Some stories don't die. You occasionally will see online or elsewhere a story that President Obama isn't a Christian, he's a Muslim. Some people don't know. In fact, a significant percentage of Americans don't know what the president claims to be in terms of his religious affiliation, and a significant percentage still thinks he isn't a Christian. In some sense, does it matter? Joining us to talk about recent poll results on the faith of President Obama, Terry Mattingly. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
You've written about this recently, and you've been reacting to Mark Taylor's book, Branding Obama. Do you agree with him that all the polling about the religion of President Obama may say more about how Americans view religion than about the president himself?
That is certainly a logical explanation of some of what we're seeing. It also shows the degree to which divisions within Christianity affects how Christians talk about other Christians. Does that make sense?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I get the impression that a lot of people, when they say Obama isn't a Christian, what they're saying is Obama isn't a real Christian. Obama isn't somebody that I consider a Christian, or I don't think he acts like a Christian, thus it doesn't matter what he professes repeatedly, time after time and again, about his own religious convictions and his own profession of explicit Christian faith. So I think what we're seeing here is the degree to which religion and religious labels and religious terms have become incredibly, incredibly politicized, especially surrounding Obama. If you flash back to Bush, George W. Bush, not Herbert Walker, if you flash back to George W. Bush, I think most Americans, if you asked about his religious affiliation, would have said he's a Christian, he's a conservative Christian. They might even say he's an evangelical Christian or a born-again Christian. The fact of the matter is that very few of them would have been able to say, for example, that he's a United Methodist, that he, as in terms of his family's affiliation, they wouldn't have known anything about his specific religious beliefs or background. They simply would have gone with their impression of what they have heard about him and what they think of him. I think what we're seeing with Obama is pretty much the same thing. People simply don't know the facts.
Now, that's a different issue, don't you think, what Christians think about President Obama's Christianity, than the question, as it is often posed, what's his religion? And the answer is given Muslim, Christian as opposed to Muslim.
Well, see, I'm not even sure that we know what people are saying when they say he's a Muslim. I mean, that might be just people trying to find, like, what's the single most negative thing I could say about him. It's certainly the more fascinating figure to me is not that we're down to 10 or 11% now who think he may be a Muslim, whatever they mean by that, whether they mean that literally or whether they're just using that almost as a form of insult. What's really amazing is the percentage of Americans, including Democrats, who say they don't know what his religious belief is, which I frankly think is fascinating. I don't even know what it means.
Well, from a journalistic perspective, I mean, if you're just looking at what the man has said himself about his religious affiliation or about his religious orientation, if you will, Is there any question there?
There's no question that he has professed faith in Jesus Christ. There is no question that he has said he links this to forgiveness of his sins and similar language to that effect. I mean, when the Christian Broadcast Network has to pretty much haul off and say that, you know, that's pretty obvious. At the same time, when you look at, say, Franklin Graham, says, we must accept what he says about his faith, but that doesn't mean we can't ask him questions about what he believes. What you're immediately hearing there is this simple statement that, what does this man actually believe? What is his doctrine? What kind of Christian is he? At that point, it would help if people could just simply admit he is a member of America's most liberal, progressive Protestant denomination, which means it isn't that he doesn't believe Christian doctrine. It's that he believes the Christian doctrines of a very particular flock of Christians.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We'll take a break when we come back. 10 more minutes with him on this Monday afternoon, July the 2nd. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. When we come back, I wonder whether or not the significant percentage of people who don't know that President Obama is a professed Christian may be indicative of a significant number of American people who just don't care whether he's a Christian or anything else, for that matter. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We'll be right back on this Monday afternoon. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana, Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about poll results on the faith of President Obama. Terry, I wonder whether or not, and we've talked about this several times, whether or not the significant percentage of people who don't know that President Obama is a professed Christian is also indicative of a significant percentage of people who don't care if he is or not.
Well, here is where we get down to the fact that religion has become such a divisive force. You know, some polls indicate the most divisive force in American public life at this point. If 44% of Americans say they don't know what Obama believes, or they can't even say whether they believe he's a Christian in any even generic sense. That's approximately 137 million Americans answering, I don't know. Look at it this way. I mean, it's a good news, bad news situation. 52% of Democrats know that the president is a Protestant Christian. But stop and think about that. 52%? Does that mean like 48% either don't know or believe something very specific? Like there's a significant number of independents, 10%, and 6% of Democrats who in effect believe he's lying. They kind of take that Bill Maher position, Bill Maher of HBO, that says that he thinks Obama's just fibbing, that he's an agnostic, he's a secular humanist, and he doesn't want to admit it. Apparently, there's a fairly significant number of people who believe that. 10% of independents, 6% of Democrats, 7% of Republicans. So what Taylor says in his book is that a lot of this is about public image and branding. The word he uses, branding Obama, that Obama has been very careful in setting himself up with a certain appeal, with a certain religious, quasi-spiritual, emotional appeal to people's spirits even more than to their brains. What this seems to show us when we look at something like this most recent Gallup poll is that that's a very divisive way to approach politics and religion.
A couple things to the branding, at least to my opinion. I just speak to this in terms of pure style, not in terms of substance.
Right.
President Obama plays the preacher as well, if not better, than even Bill Clinton did as president. I mean, mannerisms down there.
Well, he's got some of them. I think Clinton actually is better, but we can have that debate another day. Let's put it this way. A point I made in my recent Scripps Howard column about this is whatever you want to say about his pulpit skills, he sure didn't get them at Harvard Law School. I mean, I think that's a safe assumption. Whatever he was doing for 20 years or so in the pulpit of the Trinity United Church of Christ, he was paying attention to both the style and the content of urban African-American religion. Now, he happened to be doing it in a church in a very liberal denomination. He happened to be doing it in a church that was espousing a very progressive form of black theology. But in terms of style and in terms of the social role of that church, he was doing his homework, especially if you're trying to get credibility on the south side of Chicago. Taylor makes an interesting point that the evidence is that Obama was going to school at church on how to reach out to black Americans, and he was going to school on the golf course learning how to reach out to white Americans, or at least to financially successful corporate Americans of all stripes but predominantly white. He had a degree of intentionality to what he was doing, and he clearly has learned his language well. The other question that I think is fascinating is whether or not the ground that Obama gained with kind of progressive evangelicals in his when he was elected president the first time, how much of that is going to carry over into this next election? And if so, that gets into one of the more interesting questions that I hear people talking about here in Washington, D.C., and including people in the black church in Washington, D.C., is the simple question, what's Obama's church now? In other words, if he has left Trinity United Church of Christ and he didn't come to Washington and join one of the city's congregations in the United Church of Christ, of which there are a couple that would have been really nice fits. I mean, if you're looking at what he has said about his faith in the past, why has Obama, in effect, not identified more explicitly with the black church in Washington, D.C., which would have to be on anyone's short list of the most important cities in America for African-American religion?
Well,
that's another question.
The question I had with respect to that kind of in a timely fashion is, with his recent profession of support for same-sex marriage, he has definitely heard a backlash from black religious leaders, Christian religious leaders largely, in the United States. So has that made the situation more complicated for him when it comes to the president's religion?
Well, obviously, it's also one of the only logical explanations for why he hasn't, say, plugged in to one of Washington, D.C.'s prominent African-American congregations in the past 3 years, that to some degree he knew that his day was coming on gay rights. And one of the points I made to get religion, though, that people need to understand, in fact, I had a sarcastic way of saying it, that his profession of faith in gay rights, so to speak, is certainly the most logical public demonstration the man has made that he is, in fact, a liberal Christian. In other words, his belief that in same-sex marriage, his belief in gay rights is perfectly logical if he is what he has always said he is, which is a member of the United Church of Christ and a liberal layman in a progressive flock. The question is why he never said it earlier, other than this possible collision with large parts of the black church establishment.
Two final questions for you, Terry. Does it matter generally, or maybe there's the same question when it comes to when you're talking about the president, does it matter in elections?
Does it matter what he believes or what he's labeled? Is that what you're asking?
Does it matter what people think he believes?
Well, at this point, there certainly have been a number of political issues that, from all indications, that will remain unresolved, that to one degree or another are all connected with religion. Now, let's leave Romney out of this for a second. Let's just look at Obama and religion. Under anybody's short list, one of the most important issues for a Democratic candidate going into a tight election, if this is going to be a tight election, is what happens to the undecided, centrist, moderate, normal Sunday morning Catholic. If that's the case, then we really need to ask, why did Obama choose to take on the U.S. Catholic bishops and the Vatican this close to an election with the health care regulation? So that's question number one. Question number two, I don't see how anybody thinks Obama has any chance in states such as North Carolina, Missouri, maybe some urban Midwest, like, say, maybe Michigan, Wisconsin. I think you would want maximum African-American unity and excitement about his candidacy, and specifically in the powerful institutions of African-American life, which would certainly include the churches. Now, is this the sort of thing, is this stance on gay rights, is this public identification with the liberal and predominantly white world of liberal mainline Protestantism, will that hurt enthusiasm for Obama in African-American churches? I don't know, but that certainly will be one of the most fascinating things to watch going into this election. And we would have to say that all the progress he made on his religious identity, all those lessons that he had at the knee of an evangelical like Jim Wallace, all of those lessons he learned in pulpit style at Trinity United Church of Christ, they're all going to be tested quite a bit in the next months.
With only 30 seconds here, Terry, are we watching, in a sense, as people try and sort out what their president believes? And I think probably for the first time wondering seriously whether or not an American president is a Christian, a significant falling number of them. Are we watching the American people, in a sense, reevaluate American civil religion?
Boy, that's not a 30-second question. I'm going to say yes, but I think mostly what we're seeing is a public wrestling match over what all of these words mean. And the religious labels are all up in the air at this time, whether you're talking evangelical, whether you're talking liberal, whatever you're saying, I certainly don't think it's going to go away between now and the election.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here again.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller about the Christian conscience. Just yesterday, I had someone approach me, ask me about something I'd written in the Issues Etc. journal, how they could get it. It's a really simple answer nowadays. We've made getting the Issues Etc. journal easier than ever. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. There's a big, unmistakable red button that says subscribe to the Issues Etc. journal. When you click on that, all you got to do is enter your email address and you'll get the latest Issues Etc. journal. They're back issues on the publications page of our website, issuesetc.org. You can read my recent article on the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and Pastor Will Wheaton's offering too. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
The latest Issues Etc. journal contains a confession. It's about my problem with the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Pastor Will Wheaton's journey on the Wittenberg Trail. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal today, issuesetc.org.